I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. Luke chapter 9. And we'll just try our best to be led of the Lord tonight, what He'd have. And this may not be just a one-part message. Actually, the Lord just started giving it to me today, actually. I've been looking at these verses for a while, as far as just off and on, you know, it would catch my attention and I'd maybe jot a few things down, but nothing ever really started unfolding or coming together about what God wanted to emphasize from the Scripture. And until this afternoon, and I thought, oh my goodness, I know now, I mean, I've always known, but the Lord really made it clear to me why God is limited in what He is able to do in our day. And I believe anybody that has any kind of observation of church and church folk and all that would have to admit that surely God is limited. What we're seeing God do surely is not all that God wants to do. You know, it's not surely not all that He can do. And I thought, I know, Lord, I believe this is the reason why that You're not doing what You're capable of doing, what You will to do, what You desire to do, what You have designed to do. And I want to start in verse 57. And we'll read verse 57 down through 62. 57 down through 62. You can stand if you like, reverence to the Scripture. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. That sounds good, don't it? Don't that sound good? That sounds really spiritual, and it is. But Jesus answers him in verse 58 and said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And then we entertain here a second individual. The Bible says in verse 59, and He said unto another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. A third person comes into play now, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And then Jesus responds to him in verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer and you can be seated. Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for Your grace, and thank You for allowing us the privilege to be here tonight. And we pray, Lord, that You'll help us to be challenged from the Scriptures for a few minutes. Say nothing more, nothing less than what would be needful tonight for us to get what You want us to have. And Lord, what You do for us, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I stated a moment ago, that I've been looking at this Scripture, and I've been looking primarily at verse 62 until today, and I was kindly missing it. Verse 62 is in it, but I was kindly missing what the Lord wanted me to see. And as I began to look at this, I said, Lord, there's something here that You want emphasized. There's something here that You want me to see, want us to see. And as I began to look at it and try to look through it, try to look just beyond the surface, try to look just beyond what, you know, black letters on white pages, or red letter if you got a red letter edition. But I began to look at this, and what stuck out to me, and I've emphasized this before and preached on it, in fact, in verse number 59, and also verse 61, these two fellows uses this word first. And I thought about it again when Brother Ivan testified about, Lord blessed me, met with me when he got me out of the way. And verse 59, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. And anytime you see the word first, that implies that there's second and a third and a fourth and whatever. He said, Lord, I want to do something first. I've got something pressing on me to do first. What Jesus was asking him to do was spiritual. What Jesus was calling him to do was spiritual, scriptural, and the will of God. You'd have to agree with that. That's the same in verse 61. Of course, verse 61, this one wasn't called. They were volunteers. Out of the three men that I pointed out in this scripture, two of them were volunteers. Only one of them was called. The first one voluntarily said to the Lord, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. The third character, verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. So there's volunteers in two of them. And I want to say, if you want to follow the Lord voluntarily, I'd say he'd let you. But then the middle one, verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. This is a call, Jesus calling this man. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. It's amazing how the Lord used a tragic time in this man's life to put a high calling upon him. Amen. Somebody said, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. When you are having things go on in your life that's about as bad as it can get, God is not dead. God is up to something. He's wanting to give some instruction and direction in your life. But I noticed that one in verse 59 said, but suffer me first to go and bury my father. And the one in verse 61, even though he volunteered, verse 61, I will follow thee. That expressed his intention. That expressed what was on his mind, what was in his heart. I will follow thee. I want to follow thee. But how many times does that word get in there? Interference, runs interference for the will of God. I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them which are at home farewell, which are at home at my house. And I noticed this afternoon or this evening that two of these three men in our text used family as an excuse for delay in following the Lord. And I thought, my goodness, how true that is, that even Jesus said a man's foes will be they of his own household. Jesus had more trouble out of his own than he did many times the stranger. Amen, because, well, I can tell you why, but I don't have a thing to do with the message tonight. But they said, first, let us first. Lord, in other words, they were saying, Lord, we're going to put you second. That's what first means. When we use the word first in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. When he says putting God first in that light, that means everything else is secondary. Everything else falls down the list. But when these men said, let me first go, or let me first do, before I follow you, they're saying, Lord, we're putting you second. We've got something that's taking rank over you. There's something that's got ahead of you in importance. Something has got taken priority over you. And soon as I began to meditate on that, the Lord emphasized this truth, and that's what I want to start at least dealing with. I want to preach tonight, or at least start on secondary spirituality. And as I was getting ready to leave to come to church tonight, this thought came to my mind, a question came to my heart, and I want to ask you. The Lord already asked me, and I have an answer, but I want to ask you. Do you think, or do you believe, that God will operate in second place. Now think about that. Do you think the God of heaven will operate, in other words, do what he can do, what he knows he needs to be done and all of that? Do you think that he will operate as God in second place in your life and mine? What do you think the answer to that is? It's yes or no. It's not too difficult. I don't believe he does. I don't believe he can. I don't believe he will. Because when he if he's to operate in second place, then that means something else has ranked him out. Something else is above him. Something else is more important than him. Something else has got greater attention from us and greater affection from us, greater priority from us than what he has in our life. And I don't believe he's going to operate in second place. I don't believe that he's able to demonstrate his power in second place. Amen. He's just not going to do that because he's not going to subject himself to something else or somebody else or someone else and that's over him. He's not going to do that. You remember me, I've used this statement several times. If God is not first, he will never be second. He won't be, if he's not first in your life, he won't be second. Not because there's not a spot, he can't fit in the second place. He can't fit, you can't fit him in second place. But here's another reason why, that if he's not first, he'll not be second. And that is this, Brother Randy, because if we're carnal enough to take him out of first place, we won't be spiritual enough to put him in second place. In other words, if we're carnal enough to remove him out of first place and let other things rank over him in first place, meaning more important than him, having more say-so than him, having more attention than what he gets. Listen, you won't put him in second place or third or fourth or fifth. In fact, he'll probably be weighed down on the list. Maybe not at first. Maybe at first it may be just something in first place and, you know, and he's close. But if carnality continues to control and direct you, it won't be long till you'll put something else above him, even in second place, moving him to third, and then something from moving on down to third and on down to fourth and on, you know, and before you know it, your life's a wreck and God is where, who knows, in your life and everything else has got bigger than God. Our churches are suffering with deadness and dryness and we're spiritually anemic and powerless because we, most of us, I did say us, most of us operate in the secondary spirituality thing. Instead of allowing our spiritual life to be prominent, allowing our spiritual life, and when I'm talking about our spiritual life, I'm talking about our life of obedience to the Lord, our life of subjection and submission to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Putting him first. Submitting yourself to him and saying, Lord, and I want to tell you, you've got to guard first place. You've got to guard first place. There's not too many challenges going on for second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, tenth, 20th in my life. There's not too many, not much warfare going off on that. But where the warfare is, where the battle is first place in your life. Because whatever's in first place in your life probably is going to have say-so about the other places in your life and the other positions in your life. Amen. Probably whatever's in fifth place is answering amen to first place. Whatever's in sixth or seventh place is probably receiving orders and direction, amen, from your attachment to first place. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. If Jesus is not in first place in our life and does not he deserve that? tell me a reason why that he does not deserve to rank above everything and everyone in our life at first place, in first position. Why would he not deserve that? He deserves that. He don't deserve second place. He don't deserve second best. Amen. He don't deserve that. But I'm afraid that most operate in secondary. All three of these men that I read operate, they put other things in front of the Lord. Amen. Before we deal with this a little bit further here in our scripture, look at 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. This verse come to my mind driving over here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And these chapter 8 and chapter number 9 are devoted exclusively to giving. And we use these scriptures here in chapter 8 and chapter 9 to emphasize missions giving. Let's start in verse number 1, but I really want to emphasize verse 5, and we've already heard this, but I want to use it. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or witness of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Now watch this right here. How in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Did y'all hear that? Joy. The abundance of their joy is in the same sentence with the great trial of affliction. I thought that's interesting. How in that great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty, all of that's in the same sentence, abounding under the riches of their liberality. For to their power or ability, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power or ability, they were willing of themselves. In other words, they was willing to give what they didn't even have. They was willing to do what they probably felt like they couldn't do, but they was willing. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They were asking Paul with much entreaty that they would take and receive their mission offering. What about that? With much entreaty to receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. But look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped. That wasn't our desire or plan. He said, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. That wasn't second. You know why the churches of Macedonia was so powerful in the area of missions in church in the early days? It was because they had given themselves first to the Lord. Amen. If you want the Lord to be first in your life, right there is the qualification. There is the requirement. If you want the Lord to be first, then you need to give yourself first unto the Lord. And unto us by the will of God, Paul went on to say. Listen, let's go back to Luke 9. This is really that which should be big, that word first in our life. When's the last time that you did a priority check? Look at the things in your life as they rank in importance. And where does Jesus fit in? Now, I'm not talking about just saying it from your mind and, well, I know it's theologically right and there's scriptures, you know. I'm talking about looking in your life and practically seeing it, that he's first. But let's look at these just real quick, and I want to get on with it here. I know I'm not going to be able to finish everything, but I want God to really make this big to us because I believe it's the problem. I believe it's the problem that we're operating on the realm of secondary spirituality, which means that's where Jesus is. In his relationship to us, that's where he is. He is in second place or worse. And if he's in second place, he might as well be worse because he doesn't operate in number two. He'll never operate his number two spot. He'll either be Lord of all or he'll not be Lord at all. He is not going to be subjecting himself to us. Amen. He's not going to be down, and we're not going to be a master over the master. We're not going to be the one that tells him, you know, what to do. He's going to be in first place, and most people in church know nothing about that. Do we understand here tonight that every one of us here have a first place in our life? And guess what? I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm going to let you on a little secret right here. Every one of us not only has a first place, but it's occupied. It's not empty. I just thought to let you know, first place is not empty in your life. Nor is it empty in my life, nor has it ever been, nor will it ever be. First place will always be occupied. Amen. And listen to this. Whatever or whoever is in first place did not get in first place through force. God's not going to put you in a headlock and a figure four and body slam you on the floor and pin you down till you tap out saying, I'm wanting first place. You going to give it to me or not? I'm taking it over. No. First place will be occupied. And first place will never be occupied by force. In other words, whatever, whoever is in first place, listen, is there because we chose it and we allowed it. And most, oh, come on, Lord, help me now. Amen. The reason we make choices over who or what gets in first place, Brother Ivan, is because we've considered that situation and we like the effects of it. And if Jesus is not in first place, but something else is, it's because we've looked at it, we've evaluated it, we've weighed it out, and we thought, you know what? The reason Jesus is not in first place is I really don't want those effects in my life. If finances is in first place, it's because we like the consequence, we like the effects of it. If self, old big number one, if self is in first place, it's because we're living for and after self. Amen. That's right. And always keep this in mind, that no matter what's, this is all good and fresh right here. Amen. When first place is occupied, what did we learn here in the last few, couple minutes? Everybody's got a first place. There'll always be a first place in your life. Okay? It's always occupied. It'll never be empty. Your first place will never be second place. First place will always be occupied. It'll never be occupied by force. It'll always be occupied by choice based on which, oh, amen, Lord, which nature, it'll be occupied based on which nature is in control in our life. The flesh will never cast a vote on putting Jesus first. The flesh, amen, your fleshly nature, your human, depraved, sin-loving, fallen nature will never vote to put Jesus as Lord over everything in your life. Because whatever, whoever is in first place really is over everything else. All the other positions, umbrella, down and underneath, amen, that first place. Amen. Are y'all listening? And the flesh, listen, everything hinges. Boy, I feel God tonight. Amen. Amen. That's right. I'm trying to stay calm, but not too hard. Amen. First place. Listen, first place is going to be occupied. It's going to be occupied not by force, but by choice. But here it is. Everything in your Christian life, everything in your Christian life and in mine hinges on which nature is in control. Is my flesh nature, my human nature, my earthly nature that hooks me up with this life and in this world, is that in control? That's why a lot of people live for the earthly. That's what nature's in control. They're not walking after the spirit. They're walking after the flesh. Amen. Oh, yes. And just as the flesh, Brother Jeter, will never vote, never make a move, Put a desire in your heart to put something spiritual in first place. Put the Lord in first place. The flesh will never do that. Amen. Your flesh is the culprit that says, don't go to church. Your flesh is the culprit that says, don't pray. Your flesh is what says, don't tithe. Your flesh is what says, don't witness. Your flesh is what says, amen, don't give to missions. Your flesh, listen now, we've been having missions here, and I think we've got some that voluntarily miss because they're bored with missions. If they're bored with missions, I got news for you. Read my lips very clearly. We're on tape. It's being recorded, and I'm not stuttering. You are not right with God. Amen. I'm talking about if you intentionally, on purpose, well, if I go, I'm going to hear a missionary. Or I go, there's going to be mission emphasis. If I go, brother, so listen, and you stay out on that, brother, there ain't no way you're right with God. There ain't no way. I'm not talking about if you're sick or whatever. I'm talking about what I just said. But anyway, I better get back to my thought. But listen, it's based on what, this is all fresh, amen. I don't have a note one all this. Listen, whatever is in first place will be put there by which nature's in control of your life. And here's something else to write. I don't know what thought this is point-wise under that, but here's another one. Whatever's in first place right now or today may not be in first place tomorrow. How many times we've left church on Sunday, Jesus was in, worked his way up. He worked his way up. He grabbed a hold of what was in seventh place and threw it down to eighth, and he moved into seventh, and then he kept working on up the ladder. Amen. And he was in first place. We went to the altar after the preaching was over, made a commitment to the Lord. I'm going to put you first. Lord, hallelujah. And then the next day before lunch, the Lord was done missing in first place, and flesh has done gotten first place. Amen. Something else done got in first place. Yeah, car tore up. Amen. So it's going to be, I guess I could say all of that to say this. It's going to be a battle in your life, every day of your life, all through your life, what or who is going to be in first place. Amen. I might as well just dig it on out. Lord, just keep feeding me right here. Based on what you want in first place will determine what church you go to. Say amen right there. These big mega generic no-name outfits that are booming up, popping up everywhere, they don't build church buildings. They go in and buy shopping centers. They go in and take over big warehouses and turn those into their meeting places. Why is it that people are flocking to those type atmospheres? It's because you can go there and never have to go out of a fleshly mentality. Because the entertainment's there, the flashing light's there, the similarities to a movie theater is there. You know, nothing negative is ever said. Are y'all listening? Amen. I've saw very few. In fact, I don't know if I could name too many. I'd have to really think hard to. And I mentioned this down there Monday. How many people have left independent, fundamental, Bible-preaching churches? I'm not talking about junk. I'm talking about Bible preaching churches. And then when they leave that church, they move up. In other words, they go find another church that is stronger. They go find another church that's nailing it tighter. They go find another church that's emphasizing sanctification more. No, they always, when they leave a Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist church, such as you're sitting in today, when they leave that, they don't go hunting a fire-breathing man of God. They don't go, no. They go find a man of God that'll, that'll wear his Bermudas and dip and smoke and chew and run around with them that do. And they can feel comfortable, amen, in those settings. Oh, yeah. Amen. I've seen them many times. They try to a degree. They try to line up while they're here. But as soon as they get out from their boundaries of RBT, all these other carnal things comes in their life. Actually, they probably was already in there. They just kept them hid. Amen. If you're wanting Jesus Christ first, you're not going to be satisfied with a liberal church. You're not. Amen. If you're wanting Jesus Christ to be master and Lord of your life and your life exhibit that you are in servitude to Him, listen, you are going to want to find a Bible preaching church that, listen, doesn't just go through the motions but and has a man of God that spits and hollers and screams and says nothing. You want to go somewhere where the preacher is going to expound and explain the Word of God, break it down, put it on your plate where you can eat it. Now, does my flesh want that kind of a church? Negative. Your flesh don't want to go to church, period. But if your flesh is going to go to church, it's going to go try to find a church where there's not much light. Amen, that's right. The flesh will never vote for Jesus to be Lord in your life. And if you're walking after the Spirit, and the Spirit of God's in control, that spirit nature, that divine nature. Sister Joanne, when that's in control, when He's in control, that divine nature, which is the nature of God, when that nature is in control, and I want to say thank God for 36 and a half years that nature has been in me. Before that, all I had was one nature. And that was a sin-loving nature. That's why it's easy for sinners to sin, is because there's nothing there other than maybe some training in their raising and, amen, some maybe a conscience, something in their conscience, you know, that helps them to say, well, I shouldn't do that or whatever. But most of the time, they're geared and controlled by that one nature. But glory to God, when you get saved, that old nature doesn't get saved. My flesh nature didn't get saved, and yours doesn't either. Amen. That means it still loves sin. It still wants to remove Jesus and spiritual things out of first place. Amen. And it wants to get back in first place. Flesh wants to get back in first place. Be honest. How many of us in here have had the flesh to get back in first place more than once? More than 10 times, more than 100 times probably. And watch this. Come on now. Lord's helping me. Listen, when the flesh works its wicked way back into first place in our life, does it not cast a fleshly influence on down second, third, fourth, fifth, right on down the line? Because you can't have flesh in number one and then something spiritual in number two and spiritual in number three and spiritual in number four, spiritual in number five. Oh no. Whoever's in first place in your life will change and influence every decision, every desire, your direction, the people you run with, the music you listen to, the conversations that comes out of your mouth, amen, and everything else in your life. Woo, that's right. Goodness. Well, Lord, I want to serve you, but first let me. First, I got to do this. First, no. That's that secondary spirituality coming out, buddy. And that's where most operate right there. Whatever, I know I mentioned it, it's a choice. Whatever's in first, whoever's in first is a choice. But really, it's a desire, and it's a love issue. It's really a love issue. That's what it is. It's a love issue. Whatever you love the most, that's what you're going to try to elevate and put stick in there first place. Say amen right there. Amen. I've seen, Lord have mercy. I mean, I've stood right here in this church. Actually, I stood about right here. I think it was about right here. My memory's correct. I'm within probably 5 foot of where I was standing when I told a young lady that and her at that time, well, I'm gonna get too plain. Anyway, a man, I said, if you can't be spiritual in your courtship, what chance do you have of having a spiritual marriage? And the reason I pointed that out, of course, the Lord brought that to my mind, was that, listen, if you're not careful, and there's several in here that's not married, listen, if you're not careful, Jesus will be in first place till romance comes in the picture. And when romance comes in the picture, and I could use that about romance, riches, responsibilities in life, of a job, whatever comes into play, there's going to be a challenge there with the Lord Jesus. Amen. You ought to, listen, amen, that's right. All you young people that are not married, listen, you ought to already know in your heart what your conditions and qualifications are for a mate. And never compromise those. Never compromise those. Never dip your colors on them. Amen. Now, if Jesus is not in first place, then more than likely whatever your requirements are may not be too spiritual. It might be that if they've got hair on their head, they're qualified. Say amen right there. Listen to this. Lord, give this to me today. If somebody has to put on to get you, I'm talking about fake, phony, adapt. I'm not that, but I'm going to put on that. I'm going to put on the look and the actions and the talk and the walk, and I'm going to do all of that. If they have to put on to get you because you maybe are here and they're not, if they have to put on to get you, what are you going to have to do to keep them? Here's what the Lord told me today, this evening. Now, I didn't know really I was going to bring this out tonight. I was thinking later on. If somebody has to put on to get you, then you are probably going to have to put off to keep them. You have to throw your fervency and your prayer life away, and you're going to throw your separation away and throw your convictions away, and you're going to have to throw away this and that. But if you're really saved, if you're really saved, somewhere in your life you are going to get sick and tired of being miserable because you have thrown everything away in order to keep the person that put on the dog to get you. Why would you want to say amen right there? Why would anybody want to put on the dog to get somebody, or they put on the dog to get you? And then you have to walk the dog, you're having to feed that dog to keep him. But one day when you say, you know what, I believe I'm going to get right with God, I'm going to get back in church, I'm going to get serious about the things of God, then you're going to have a boiling pot in your home. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, I hope, anyhow. Amen, that's right. Secondary spirituality. I tell you what I think I may do, because we want to have prayer time, and I've already spent more time than I've meant to on. I'm telling you, most of what I've said tonight's been just fresh right down the pipeline. But is Jesus first in your life? If He's first in your life, it's because you want Him to be. If He's first in your life, it's because you recognize He deserves to be. And you're willing to deal with anything that's challenging Him for that position. That's right. May the Lord help us with that. Lord willing, if the reason I don't even want to start on these three is because I know that I'm going to be challenged for time of dealing with these three different characters as they... Listen, as they were challenged about first place, what's going to be first in their life. So I tell you what I believe we're going to do. We're just going to stop right here, because I believe the Lord's already said enough to us to load our wagons with. And we'll, if the Lord leads us, and I believe He's going to lead us, but I'm not sure if He'll be next Wednesday or how the Lord's going to lead us, but I'm sure and certain in my heart the Lord's going to lead us to deal with this further. And I really, and I could deal with it from several places, but I really want to focus my attention on these three men in our text in Luke 9 and talk about secondary spirituality.